The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and became of him. He had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Verse 22. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made him succeed.
In the first reading, we looked at Joseph as the type of Christ. Because again, we said God's standard is not the brother that is sitting next to you, in front of you, or the sister that's sitting next to you. The standard that God has for every one of us, if you are 17, or if you are older, or if you are younger, is Christ. That is the standard. God is forming Christ in each and every one of us. And God has sent us a message, His holy word, the Bible. And in that Bible, in that word of God, that precious word of God, we have patterns, we have examples of men and women like you and I, just lived in the ordinary circumstances of life. They have their pressures, they have their difficulties, they have their pleasant circumstances, they have their hard circumstances, but yet how each and every one of them function. And it was a lesson for each and every one of us to learn how to function. The first reading also, we spoke about how Joseph behaved himself in the home circumstances. In a circumstance that, as we have heard, it wasn't really the ideal circumstances. It was a very difficult situation at home where Joseph was brought up. But yet, how he behaved, how he conducted himself in relationship to his father. He was in communion with his father. He was a man of prayer. He could bring everything to God in prayer. He would bring everything, even the evil report of his brethren, to his father. That's one thing. He was willing to serve in a very difficult circumstances with his brethren and to feed the sheep. And we have heard how important for each and every one of us to be able to feed the sheep. You have to know the sheep and you have to know their need. Joseph was a skillful shepherd. We also saw how he was obedient to his father, even when he was rebuked. He did not respond back, and he took it very well. And when his father sent him to check on his brother, he didn't shrink from the responsibility, but he said, "I'm available. I'm available, whatever you want me to do." Again, he was in communion with the heart of the Father. And I really want to highlight, I think, a point I think Benjamin made in the last reading about really what motivated him was love. You see, when you love the Father, you will do the Father's will. When you love the Father, it is so easy to obey. The gospel message that we have heard, it is really connected with that. For God so loved, that's why he gave. The response of my heart, if I love the Father, peer pressure would not have influence on me to go and act like everybody else. When I love the Father, I will find that reading the scripture to know the mind of the Father, it would be a pleasant thing. It would not be hard for me to do. When I love the Father, my relationship with my brothers and sisters around me will be in accord with the Father. But because of the scripture is very practical, in the session that we have before us now, I would like us to look at Joseph, now not in the inner circle of home, dealing with his father, with his brethren, and with his relative, but now in the workplace. Joseph, for nothing wrong that he has done, ended up in a foreign land. Now there are few of us here, actually all of us, are in a foreign land. Just keep that in mind. Not just few of us, all of us are in a foreign land. This is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. Heaven is our Father's land. Heaven is our home. Don't think that this is your home. You're passing through here. So Joseph now is taken to a foreign land. And in a foreign land, just like he was in the land where his father was, there were the Canaanites. And the Canaanites behaved in a certain way, and Joseph's brethren behaved like the Canaanites in a very immoral and bad way. When he went to Egypt, when Joseph was sold into Egypt, they were much different than the Canaanites in their behavior. If you read about their civilization, it was just the same thing. The immorality that existed in there, the brutalness, the violence, and the corruption that we see in our day existed in every civilization, no matter what it is. And Joseph found himself in this circumstance. He doesn't have his father now to run to him with things like he did when he had a home. At least there was a comfort there. But now there is nobody. And now Joseph is in a strange house. They speak a strange language. They're not familiar with that language that they speak, so he has to learn the language that they are speaking. He had to learn their custom so he could do the work and a function in that way. Yet he maintained integrity and honesty. Are we, as a Christian, where we are? Let it be at school or let it be at work? Do we maintain this integrity and the characteristic that becometh of a Christian? That people could say, he does a good job because he's a Christian. He doesn't cheat because he's a Christian. He does his homework. Or when his boss is not around, he does it because he's a Christian. I could trust him. Joseph was in communion with the Father, though he was far away from home. We want to look at him when he was in Potiphar's house as a servant. And we want to look at him when he ended up in jail, again, for no fault of his. Now, talk about harsh circumstances. Joseph is there. And the scripture, in both incidents, tells us, and the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. If you want to be successful, this is the secret. That is the secret, that the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord doesn't keep company with us. How could two would walk together if they do not agree? If I am not in accord with the Lord's mind, in my behavior, in my walking, and in my fellowship with Him, how could I expect that the Lord will walk with me? So we need to look at these verses, bring the practical application, because again, as I said, it's very practical. And the prayer is this, that as I go back to work on Monday, I would be different than when I was on Friday as a result of hearing the instruction from the Lord.
Last thing you read about Joseph, two chapters prior, is that he was his brother's thrown in the pit, his brother sold him. And the first thing you read about Joseph in chapter 39 is the Lord was with him and he was prosperous. And it's fascinating to see that God's ways are not our ways, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Because if you look at Joseph from the eyes of man, there's nothing really prosperous about him. He could have been the head of Potiphar's household, but that makes him the head servant, the head slave. He's still nothing in the eyes of man, but the Lord was with him, and he was prosperous. So what does that say to us? It says to me that I don't need titles, I need the Lord, and I'm prosperous. And to be prosperous in the eyes of the Lord is all that really matters. Because when God blesses, when God has a good consideration of me, it flows through me and even benefits all those who are around. Because the Lord was with Joseph, Potiphar's whole house was blessed, and Potiphar's whole house was able to take advantage of the blessings of Joseph.
And so we have the same thing. We have the Spirit dwelling on us. And also, God has told us, He will never leave us nor forsake us. And we know at all times the Lord is with us. And in some sense, we have an advantage over Joseph because of the Spirit dwelling in him, because of our knowledge of the Lord, this word the Lord here. No offense to Joseph, but he only knew so much. We just heard a wonderful gospel message. We know the Lord, not just as the Creator, we know Him as our Redeemer also. And this is a wonderful thing. And just kind of to tie what you said, Joey, in with what Lionel said, because our walk and our way doesn't just affect us, it affects those around us. Because Joseph was with the Lord and he walked with the Lord, and it says he was a prosperous man, people around him prospered. Potiphar prospered. We'll read that he became chief of the jail. I don't know if he brought any prospering to the jail, but we read that he brought a lot to Egypt. He got all the money in the land. He got cattle. He got houses. He made Egypt the strongest nation in, I suppose, in the world at that time. They had full control of everything. On the other hand, we can have a man like Jonah, who's walking far from the Lord. And he gets into a ship trying to escape from the Lord, and look at what he does to the people around him. The people around him were threatened by their lives because of the situation, the spiritual situation he was in. That because he was far from the Lord and trying to run from the Lord had put those around him in danger. So our walk and our ways will even affect unbelievers, possibly. You know, if you're on a plane and the Lord has a purpose for you in life, that He wants you to get somewhere and preach the gospel, that plane will not crash. No matter what weather is going on, if the Lord wants you in this place, because you are there, you will keep those around you safe. And so there's a certain sense where our lives affect those around us, whether they're unbelievers or believers. And obviously, if they're unbelievers, we can have a great effect and give them the gospel.
So we see that, I like how Darby has a note on verse 2, which says Joseph was a prosperous man. It says, a man that caused prosperity. I'm going to just build on what Matt just said, that he brought prosperity everywhere he went. Jonah brought poverty, because not only were they in danger, they ended up throwing everything off the boat before they threw him off the boat. And just thinking about this as a type of our Lord Jesus, we know it says of him that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. The Lord made us prosper through his poverty. And we see here Joseph bringing prosperity to others. I wonder how we view ourselves whenever we have a job, whether it's some part-time job, just selling stuff at the mall or whatever it is, or in the corporate world, whatever it is that we do. Do we view ourselves as, oh, I'm just here to put in my 9-to-5 or 9-to-3 or whatever your shift is, as soon as the clock hits my time to leave, I'm running out the door. Oh, if I see something on the floor that should be picked up, well, I'm not going to pick it up. That's not my job. Oh, I see something that should be, well, I'm not going to do, that's not my job. That's not my job. My job is this, and I'm going to do my job. That's all I'm going to do. Not an inch more. That's the attitude that I confess I struggle with at times. Don't tell anyone. And many of us in our schoolwork or at home, if mom and dad say, go do this. All right, well, you said do this. Well, why didn't you do that? Well, you didn't say do that. You only said do this. So I did this and I didn't do that. But you saw that needed to be done too. Well, you didn't say anything, so I didn't do it. That attitude Joseph didn't have. Joseph's attitude was, how can I make you better off? How can I make this man's house prosper? It's not just, he was a good luck charm. Because Joseph is sitting there, the plants are growing faster all on their own. They're producing more fruit all on their own. Money's falling from the sky. No, he wasn't a good luck charm. He was, by his attitude, he was serving in such a way, motivated by love. And he was working extra hard. He was going the extra mile. He was doing what the Lord Jesus would later on tell us to do. If somebody compels you to walk a mile, go with him twain. Somebody, wants this, do that too. That's the attitude that Joseph displayed. This is very practical. In order to demonstrate that we as Christians are not like the world, in order to demonstrate that we know the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, we have to be like this, where we don't just do exactly all that we have to do and not a little tiny bit more. No, we have to go the extra mile. We have to do more. We have to be motivated by love for the lost that are around us, and if you should happen to be doing something for a fellow believer, you should be motivated by love for that believer. You want to help your brother out. You want to help your sister out. That's, I think, part of what we see here in Joseph being a man that caused prosperity to those around him. It was an active thing.
And the thing that I would like to highlight is not that he only brought prosperity to others. Others saw that the Lord was with him. And that's a very important principle. That's the beginning of things that are taking place, if you want to put it this way, while he is in the workforce. That the master saw, he observed that the Lord was with him. And the challenge to us, that in our, you know what, even in the family setting, what do people observe in me? Do they observe that the Lord is very precious? Do they observe that the Lord is with me? Or sometimes we don't give them any reason to observe anything different in me. Because we act and behave like the rest of the people of this world. In Joseph's case, there was something that was visible in the sight of men. That they could see, and they could observe that the Lord was with him. And that's a challenging thought, dear brethren. What we do in a day of conference, I like to put it this way, we talk. It's reality. I mean, nothing wrong with the exchange and talking, nothing. It's the right thing. That's what conference is all about. But in a setting of a conference, all what we can do today is talk. But the challenge is, when you go to school on Monday, if you still have school, or if you are going to work on Monday, what are people going to see in me as an effect of the word of God upon my soul? Joseph was a display of Jehovah in his working place. And I wonder, you and me, if you will come and ask my colleagues at work, what is unique about this young man?
Unique? What is unique?
Nothing is unique. But how wonderful of a testimony when people can look at a person and say, you know what, maybe they want to call you different, that's okay, but this is unique. Maybe they want to call you his cuckoo, his religious, all these terms. It's quite all right. As long as they see that there is something different, and that difference is not because of you, that difference is because of the Lord, makes a great and leaves a great impression upon others. An older brother one time said that most of the people in this world have never read the Gospels. They have never read the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, nor the Gospel of John. The only Gospel they can read is your Gospel and mine, in the way I behave and in the way I present the Blessed Savior.
When we're right with God, He'll make us proper and those around us as well. Even though Joseph was away from home, away from all his parents, he still maintained that relationship with God. And that is why he was able to prosper in Potiphar's house. Even though he could have been like the Egyptians, you often say, when you're with the Romans, you act and you dwell, act like the Romans. He could have been like the Egyptians, but he decided to just stay steadfast and focus on God. And that is how he was able to prosper, not only for himself, but for Potiphar's house as well. And I think that through that, he was also comforted in knowing that the Lord was with him, no matter where he was.
I think Joseph embraced the principle that you do all things as unto God, not as unto men. He wasn't worried about what others would think about him or say about him. He was doing all things with the idea that God would be the one who would reward him, who was taking care of him through every step of the way. So whatever he did, he sought to bring honor to God, and God was no man's debtor, rewarded him for that.
It says that the Lord was with him, and that this was evidenced, seen by the master. In verse 3, we've been touching on this. His master saw that the Lord was with him, so there's no doubt Potiphar was watching him. To the point, in the beginning, he may have been watching him to make sure that this person is going to be working. but Joseph was so faithful in his work of place, in his place of work, that there came a point in time when Potiphar didn't need to watch him anymore. You know, sometimes our bosses give us responsibility and, you know, we have to do certain work. And then there might come a time when they realize how faithful we are, not as because we're doing it for them, but as Brother Greg said, we're doing it as unto the Lord, that they say, I don't need to worry about this employee anymore because I know what kind of person they are. I know what kind of work they're doing. And I was just thinking of the verses in Ephesians where it says, servants, chapter 6, verse 5, you don't have to turn to it, I'll just read two verses. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, and this is the important part, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And here is one who was not free. He was not there of his own, you know, he wasn't there getting paid, like we go to our jobs and get paid. He was there because he was a slave. And you know what, he didn't sit there and say, I'm going to sulk in all that was going on, all that's happened to me. And you know, he took the opportunity and he said, how can I display Christ to this man? And he was faithful in what the little things that the Lord entrusted to him. It started back in his father's house, and now God brings him to another house, and he's faithful there. And then God brings him to another place, and it's not up, it's down, it's to the prison. And then it's going to come up. So the path to go up, you know, first we have to come down, just as the Lord Jesus did. And here, this man was faithful. God entrusted to him a small amount of work, and for many years, perhaps up to 11 years, he was serving there in Potiphar's house faithfully, and the Lord was with him. As Brother Emil said, the Lord was with him in the good times, and the Lord was with him in the bad times. When he was in prison, the Lord was with him. When he was in Potiphar's house and everything was going well, the Lord was with him then. And so he's with us always, whether the good times and the bad times. But the point is this, that he didn't sit there and sulk. It said that he served. He looked at the opportunity and he said, how can I display Christ? What from the things that I have learned? Because again, he didn't have that coat anymore, but it was just as much on as it was before. He was displaying the features of Christ in everything that he did. And that's the responsibility that we have. Sometimes we know our bosses are watching. And so for the sake of the promotion that we want to get, or for the sake of whatever, we're going to get very busy when they are doing it. And the scripture says that's doing it for eye service. But when we know that we're doing it as unto Christ, because always he's watching you. When I'm working from this location or from that location, he's watching me. And if I do it as unto him, I don't want to steal even 1 minute from my master. I'm there, as Sammy said, to see how can I prosper his work, his kingdom. And I don't look at it like I'm working for credential. I'm working for as unto the Lord, because that is where the Lord has put me, for service for him. Not just so I can increase credentials, wealth, and the stockholders, and everybody makes more money, but I'm doing it so for the glory of God. Whether you eat or sleep, whether you work or don't work, you do it all for the glory of God. And that's what Joseph was doing. And that's why God was with him, because this man was faithful in the small things, and God entrusted him with more. He started with a small amount of responsibility, and now he's got the whole house, and soon he's going to have the whole kingdom. And so God was with him. He was faithful in the small things, and God continued to bless him. And so if we honor God, God is going to honor us. That is a scriptural principle. You'll find that through the entire scripture. You look at men and women who honored God, who lived for him, who didn't do it just because somebody was watching, but because we were doing it as unto the Lord, who always watches, and God will honor you.
In this passage, the word prosperity, and the Hebrew has three ideas connected with it. It's connected with success, it's connected with good esteem, and it's also connected with behaving wisely. And if you look, you see that Joseph has all three of these characteristics, that he had success. All that he did was prosper. And he had good esteem. Potiphar trusted him. Potiphar did not have to keep his eye on him. And then he also behaved wisely. And we see that later, and we'll see that in the next reading, I guess. But it's just prosper. It's not just being successful. There's more to it than that.
I think something else to consider as well is, you mentioned good times and bad. If you look at Joseph, when he was at home, when he got sold, when he was in jail, even when he came over Egypt. There was a consistency in his testimony. Regardless of what the circumstances around him were, he was faithful to the Lord. No matter what was happening around him, he wasn't impacted by that. He could have easily gotten down on himself when he got sold in Egypt, but he realized that the Lord was with him, and his testimony was consistent from day one until the very end.
That is a matter of success, something that every young person, every old person aspired for. Nobody wanted to be a loser. Nobody wanted to be a failure. Everybody wanted to be a successful person. The world has its own way to how to reach that success, by manipulation, by taking advantage of the system. You could play the system, so you could just don't have to work and get as much as you can, you do that. But for a Christian who loves the Father, who loves the Lord Jesus, who loves the Word of God, Joseph could not stand there and preach the gospel of God or tell them, you have to convert from the idols and worship the true and the living God. He was a slave. And as a matter of fact, when you buy a new slave and you bring him in, let me tell you something. You have to break him. You have to break him. You have to make him sure, completely forget everything that he had and break him completely. So you have to oppress him with work. Joseph did not have it easy. I think when I heard, you know, he was working like, there was no 9 to 5, there was 24 hours. He was at his master's bedding. There is no time, well, you know, it's lunchtime now. There is no such thing. It was work. And he didn't sleep late and miss work. There was no such a thing. If he was supposed to be at a certain time doing something, he was there. And he was doing it perfect. Not just following the manual and said, okay, I did 1 to 10. He just did it, as we have heard, as the Lord was standing there watching him. It wasn't possible. He was watching him. And as a result of that, you said, somebody said that the boss was watching. As a matter of fact, let me assure you of something. At school, at work, everybody is watching you. Everybody's watching you. And when Brother John said, well, what if they ask about me at work, what would they say? Would they say, well, you know, he is a religious guy? Or would they say, if that's Christianity, I don't have anything to do with it. If that's how Christians work, forget it. I don't want to be a Christian. This guy claimed Christianity, or this person claimed Christianity, and look how he behaved. He is nothing but headache all the time. He's a complainer, he's a murderer, he just always does things that you have to correct him. He is no good. You want to get rid of him. If he's a Christian, I don't want to have to do anything with Christianity. That wasn't the case at all. All the servants are watching, and they say, well, look at him. Joseph became the standard. If you want a prosperity in your life, make Joseph in charge. If you want to have prosperity, Potiphar was a good businessman. He was a high-ranking officer in Pharaoh's guard. And he said, I know a good man when I see him. He's a good administrator. I am putting him in charge. If you want your life to be in order, put Joseph in charge. Let the Lord Jesus be in charge of your life. Let him take control. Because Potiphar told the servant and everybody, he's a boss. Potiphar didn't ask me to see what you did yesterday. Did we see the spreadsheet? Did we see accounting of what? Nothing at all. He said, just make sure I have food to eat. That's all Potiphar was worried about. He loved his food. He said, I just want to make sure that there's food or not. I don't have homework. Everything Joseph is in control. It's good to have Joseph. Now, I want to tell you about Joseph's grandpa, great-grandpa. He was also in Pharaoh's house. You know what the scripture said about Abraham? That the Lord plagued Pharaoh's house with great plagues because of Abraham. Abraham was an older man. Joseph was a young man. You see the difference? Because you know what Abraham did? Abraham lied. He wasn't a good testimony. He did the shortcut. He manipulated the system. He tried to take advantage of the situation to save his own life. And the Lord plagued. We have heard already about how Jonah brought disaster on those who are around him. The Lord plagued Pharaoh's house because of Abraham, because he did not walk right. The Lord blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph, because he walked right. It is important for us. What I will do it's going to influence those around me. And it's either going to bring blessing, it's going to or either going to bring plagues.
And I wonder if our bosses, because this is very, you know, this is about as practical as maybe it can get. I wonder if our bosses know from where our strength and ability comes from. Because later on, and we're not going to get this because it wasn't part of the outline, but, you know, when he's standing before Pharaoh, Potiphar saw, but maybe Joseph never said a word about his God. Maybe he didn't have to. Maybe he was just, he knew something was different about this. But I wonder if our bosses know where our ability comes from. You know, once I was sitting with my boss, and she, you know, those annual reviews that you get, you sit there, they tell you how all the great things that you did and all the bad things that you did and et cetera, et cetera. And she was going on talking about all this good stuff. And I had this urge all of a sudden, and I know it was from the Lord, and he said, you tell her where your strength and ability comes from. Because Pharaoh, as Pharaoh was looking at Joseph and saying, you know, you're going to come and interpret the dreams, etc., Joseph said, it's not from me, it's from God. And I wonder, will any of us be ashamed to tell our bosses, you know what, with all due respect, I report to you, but there's somebody above you. And it's not the CEO, it's the Prince of the world. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, who's coming one day to reign. I wonder if our bosses would ever hear that from us. Especially when they're sitting there and saying all the good things that we've done, and we just sit there and say, yeah, wow, you know, this is very fleshly. I can feel very prideful with all the accomplishments that I've done. But when we sit there and say, you know what, it's not just me. I do it because I'm serving the Lord God. He is my master. Would any of us have the courage, the boldness to do that? And I'm not saying this to lift myself up in any way, but it's just the moment that, you know, I was there, the Spirit of God just impressed me and said, you tell her from where your strength and ability comes from. You know what? It changes a lot of things. When they realize that this is not an ordinary person, not just because I'm observing him or her and I see they're working very faithfully and diligently and I don't have to ask them to go out of their way because they go out of their way already. But now I know where that comes from. Not just because they're a good employee, but they're a good servant of the Lord.
Okay. Brother Dave, I wonder if Joseph really shared with his master Jehovah. Because the scripture says clearly that he saw that Jehovah was with him. He had an understanding of who Jehovah is. And then that he saw that Jehovah was prospering everything in the hand of Joseph. So he must have heard of Jehovah for him to observe the source. I mean, he knew that the source was not Joseph. The source was Jehovah. That's what the scripture says. And he knew it and he observed it. And I wonder, I really wonder, although the scripture is silent, that Joseph had occasions when he is in a work environment to present the true God before his earthly master, if you want to put it this way, because he was called the master, so his earthly master. And I certainly believe he did. Just simply because his master went to the source, that was Jehovah. So he had the former knowledge of who Jehovah is, the blesser, the creator, or whatever you want to call it. And I wonder, you see, now we are, you know what I don't like sometimes? I shouldn't say that. It's good to be good ambassadors in the scene and abide with all the rules and regulations. But sometimes we take it too far. I know some of you of us work in public things and stuff like this. Listen, on my boss's time, when he is paying you, it is not for us to just say, I'm a Christian, I'm going to read the scripture, but I'm not going to work, you know? And this is really ungodly way of doing things. The Lord encourages us to be good workers and to submit ourselves to these earthly institutions, if you will. But you know what? I guarantee you this. Your lunch time belongs to you. You can say or do anything you want if somebody is sitting with you. Nobody can tell you that's a work. There are so many things and so many opportunities that could be presented to make known the Lord Jesus. But as good workers, maybe the brethren can correct me. It's sinful when we say, I'm a Christian, and I want to get into the internet and see the PB group and read these, if there's a lot of work to be done. But you're just saying, well, this is more important than work. As a worker, you have to do the work that's given with you as long as it doesn't cause you to disobey God. When it comes to that point, you stand firm. But if it doesn't cause you to disobey God, we have to be good workers like Joseph was, and Joseph made Jehovah known before his master. And let's make him known. Because you know what? That's, after all, the main reason you are working in that location and you go to that school is that we might be a testimony for him until he comes.
And I believe that once we give the Lord credit for our work, he will, after that, all of the promotions would come. Everything else would fall into place. As you see in verse 5, and it came to pass from that time that he had made an overseer in his house and over all that he had. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. So once we give the credit to God, like the prosperity wouldn't just stop there. It would continue going and going as long as we continue to hold faithful to the Lord.
If I might bring another example of somebody who was not now at the workplace, but at school. I think earlier in the first Bible reading, somebody mentioned something about Daniel. If I may just, I know our subject is not really Daniel, but if I might just speak something about somebody who was also taken away from home, was not all of it. Some of you are in college far away from home. You are not at home. You're living in a dormitory. Well, Daniel was an example of that. He had to leave home to go to Babylon, to be there in the school, in the college, in the university, in the Royal University of Nebuchadnezzar. And he had to learn everything in there. He had no choice there. There was nothing like, I'm not going to go there, I'll go here. He had no choice. He had to go. And there was a group of his own people with him. Joseph was alone. There was no other Hebrew servants that were taken with him. He was alone. But now, Daniel had a group with him from the same royal family, his peers. And they all went to Babylon. Now, far from home, was it BOS? Right? Is it? When parents over shoulder? You guys want to go home. Okay, you're better off if you don't. But those of you who know, you know what I'm talking about. So there was no parents over shoulder. Daniel was there alone. But Daniel had a purpose in his heart. Not to defile himself with the king's men. There was nobody watching him. Even when the rest of his friends, only Daniel and his three friends, that have said, listen, we are not going to get involved and influenced by what, because you are what you eat. If you eat the junk of this world, you will become just like the rest of them. Daniel had a purpose in his heart. So now it's not a matter of commandment of my father because he's watching me. It is not like that my boss is watching me. And I tell you what, even the captain of the guards in the king's palace said, you're going to look leaner than the rest of them. I got to watch you. He was watching them while they were abstaining from the influence and the food of the king. It's the same thing for you and I. What are we feeding on? We'll bring the testimony to those around us, and it will show. It will show who we belong to. And it will either bring honor to the name of the Lord, or will dishonor the name of the Lord. So whether it be at the workplace, or whether it be far away from home, in school, same principles still apply. And just like Joseph was prospered, so is Daniel. Because the Lord was with both of them because they honored his name.
And if you can kind of stretch that application back to Joseph, if you want to say Daniel was working for the king, the king told him to do something that was wrong. He didn't say, well, David and John and Uncle Abel, they told me that I'm supposed to listen to my boss, whatever he says, and my boss is asking me to rip some customer off and do something wrong. No, it's the Lord is our boss, not our boss. Our boss has been placed there to sign our paycheck, and that's it. So that's the example of Daniel, that when his boss told him to do something that wasn't honoring to God, he said no, because his boss was gone. And that's the thing that we've been emphasizing from what Gregory pointed out in Ephesians, and it's also in Colossians, that our boss is God. So somehow all of us seem to have jobs with the worst boss in the world. Somehow it's always the worst boss in the world. But we can look past that. He's just there for some sort of authority from God, and that we serve God. So when something comes up that's unjust, and something that comes up that would be that you step over another employee to get a position, we don't do this, because if we work as unto the Lord, Colossians goes on to say, knowing that your inheritance is from the Lord, that he will give us a reward. So we don't need to worry about doing something the wrong way to get a promotion. The Lord will bless us.
Joseph never applied to be the boss. It was observed. And when things are done before the Lord in the right moral way, things will be observed. Things will be noticed. I just want to suggest to you, Joseph means he shall increase. And how wonderful it is that you and I will understand that I'm here in this scene, so that he will be increased. He will, the knowledge of Christ will be increased to others. Joseph lived up to it. He never asked anything and for anything. He never did. It was always coming to him. It was always coming to him. And if we are serving the living God and have our confidence in the Lord, that brethren, whatever ambition we might have and whatever goals we might have, is there anything wrong with goals? I don't think so. Is there anything wrong of desiring a certain career? Nothing at all, as long as it's nothing illegal or something against God's mind. Let's put things in order. But the problem it becomes when I go after it so much that I lose sight of the Lord. But if I am taking up a certain career and the Lord is in it, everything will be presented to me in its right time. So there's nothing wrong with work. There's nothing wrong with having a plan or a position you like to have. But as we were reminded, we don't do things like the people of this world. We do it knowing that the Lord is no man's debtor. And as we were reminded earlier, he that honors me, I will honor him or she. So we have to learn from these examples as we go on with our daily things, starting tomorrow and after the conference and Monday, that we do things as unto the Lord, and he will bring things to pass, and he will give us the desires of our heart as long as we delight ourselves in him. Just wondering if you want to bring us to jail. We're still trying to figure out POS.
I'd like to focus one thing about the life of Joseph in the house of Potiphar. I'd like to connect it to the Ark of Covenant. When Israel was allowed attacked by the Philistines in the sovereignty of God, the Ark of Covenant was taken away from the midst of Israel. And the Ark of Covenant landed in Abinadab's house. And after that, David took from there to, he was taking, and again he stumbled, his cart stumbled, and the Ark of Covenant fell down Uzzah got hold, tried to get hold of the Ark of Covenant, and he found it. And that Ark of Covenant we see in the house of Obed-Edom. Yeah. In the house of Obed-Edom. And in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 11, it is said that, and the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was toward King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of covenant, the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God to the house of Obed-Edom. From here, what we can understand is that when we keep place, Joseph was in the house of Potiphar as a picture of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see Ark of Covenant, the picture of Lord Jesus Christ in Obed-Edom's house. And that household was blessed, and Potiphar's household was blessed. So, when Lord Jesus Christ came into our life, how much spiritual blessings we got. And when we give place in our family, Lord Jesus Christ, what a household that household would be. And what I understand is that when Lord Jesus Christ will have full sway in 1,000-year reigns in this world, the whole world will be blessed with all spiritual blessings. And with all spiritual blessings, we are blessed in heavenly blessings. So, we should be encouraged to give Lord Jesus Christ the central place in our life, in our family, in our assembly.
This must have been what Joseph was concentrating on, because as we go into the prison, you just think of what Joseph has done so far. We've heard today, he thought he was doing something good, bringing evil report to his father, and his brethren hated him. Then he obeyed his father, and his brethren threw him in a pit. Then he did well in Potiphar, did worked his tail off and worked very hard, and now he's in jail. Why would he want to work hard in jail? What's the next step? Death? There's not really any much lower he can go here. But in verse 21, we see that the Lord is with him and showed him mercy. Again, back to the, as we just heard, the Ark of the Covenant blessed the house of Obed-Edom. And Joseph must have just been thinking of the mercy of the Lord, knowing that, again, maybe he knew the interpretation of the dreams, knowing that the Lord would raise him up in his time. And it's just something, the great faithfulness of this man, Joseph. I'm not sure we've spoken of his faithfulness at all, but the fact that he was faithful to the Lord for about 13 years, I guess. We read him when 17 years old in verse chapter 37, and then in the next chapter, when Pharaoh, or maybe the chapter after, when Pharaoh raised him up, he's 30 years old. So for 13 years, he was basically living, he had nothing for him. He kept being punished, and he kept being put into bad situations, yet he never gave up on the Lord. What a faithful person that even when he goes to jail, the jail would be blessed. I said it didn't prosper, but the end of verse 23 prospered. I'm not sure how it prospered, but maybe it was cleaner or something. But the fact that he was there, even the jail prospered. What a faithful man of God we see here.
The one thing you see with Joseph as well is he does seem to get bitter with these things, even though he's innocent and is being punished for being innocent in a way. He ran out of the house, which is, I guess it'll be in the next freedom that we discuss this as well. But still, he's thrown in jail unjustly and doesn't take it as, oh, why is this happening to me? That's a hard thing to do. You know, that's something for us also to see if we are accused unjustly.
And that is really one of the admirable character for the believer. I think in 1 Peter, I think in chapter 3, speaking about a servant being subject to the master, not even to the kind one, but also to those who are rough, those who are unjust. Now, the point that you brought, Larry, about if I do right and I continue to be faithful and I just ended up getting it right or left, I mean, forget about that. You know, why? Why? Why continue to do right and do work hard and do things? Look at the evil of the world. Isn't what Asaph said in Psalm 73? He said, I look at the wicked, they're prospering. They're cool, they have a lot of friends, they have a lot of money, they have nice cars, they have nice computers, they have everything going for them. And we are just some kind of, every time I try, and I try hard, things are just not working out. Why? I mean, okay, I thought maybe one of these days I will be set free. Maybe Balfour will be nice to me and I'll find somebody to take me back to my father's house to Jesus. I've been trying to work very hard. I get this filthy accusation over nothing. And now I'm thrown in jail. I mean, and this is not a jail game, you know. This is a dungeon. This is a dungeon where the political prisoners, because it said the king's prisoners were there. These were the people that the king had suspicious about them, that they are political prisoners, they are anti-government, they are the worst kind of people. This is not a bunch of thieves. And Joseph was there. And imagine the very same, here's the coats of many colors, although he does not have it, shine out. Just like the Lord Jesus. You know, when he was reviled. You know, he endured it patiently. And the Lord put Joseph through these fires. Sometimes, as a Christian, don't think that because you're working very hard, because you are walking faithfully to the Lord, because you are not following the crowd, that everything would be okay with you. The Lord might allow, because Joseph was in the school of God, that the Lord might allow fire to go in, trials to go in, to kind of purify you more. As long as the Lord is with you, listen, if the Lord is with you in jail, that is much better than being in that king's palace without the Lord. You want to have the Lord with you. If the Lord is with you, even if you are in jail, he will take care of matters. He is in charge. It's not the geographical location. It is not the circumstances of all. It's having the Lord with me. And that is supposed to be my desire always. I want the Lord to be with me. And there are prerequisites for that. Again, as I said, how could two walk together if they do not agree? I must be agreeable. I must be agreeable to the Lord. Hear the Lord, for the Lord will have fellowship with me and walk.
I was just thinking that again, we see here the fact that he was faithful in the jail. And Peter says, what glory is it if when you do wrong things, you suffer for those wrong things and you bear it patiently? But what a completely contrary thing if you're doing the right thing and then you suffer for it and you bear it patiently. Just, this is acceptable to God. And here, you know, as we've been saying, sometimes we look at the situation, we just say, this just doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'm serving the Lord. I've already been in you know, a house prisoner, essentially a slave for all these years, and now I've done everything well that the Lord asked me to do, and now I have to suffer through this. And sometimes things just don't make sense, and sometimes we lean on our own understanding. And it's a time like this when Joseph would have to say, I trust in the Lord always, and I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm just going to trust that he has a plan, because, you know, he wasn't going to be able to get to the point that he got to staying in Potiphar's house. See, God had a plan, and he worked all this through. And again, here we find him being a servant. And I wonder if the Lord was teaching him, again, that the servant is not greater than his master. If the Lord Jesus had to suffer and be wrongfully accused and suffer persecution. And again, it's interesting,
You don't see Joseph defending himself at all. He doesn't say one word. And as Brother Amos said, he was reviled, he reviled not again. He doesn't, whenever the Lord Jesus was attacked personally, he never responds. Only when it came to do, it had to do with his father and in the position that was rightfully his. That's when he responded. And here Joseph doesn't respond. He took it patiently as from the Lord. And he suffered, and this was acceptable to God. And God, even though it took a couple more years, that he was still learning this, he learned that the servant is not greater than his master. And if they did all these things to the Lord, they're gonna, you know, we could suffer sometimes wrongfully, and sometimes things just don't make sense. And we just look at it and we just say, it doesn't make sense. There's no other way to explain it. And it's those times we just have to say, I trust in the Lord and I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge Him in all of my ways. Here in prison, there in the house, I'm going to acknowledge Him. I've set Him before me at my right hand. He's always with me and I sense His presence. The Lord there was with him. And just like the Apostle Paul said, everybody forsook me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The Apostle Paul recognized and drew from the strength of the Lord. And here, Joseph does the same thing. He senses the Lord is with him, and it was a very real, present help in time of need. And sometimes when we're going through difficult times, it's only that we can rely upon the Lord to get us through the difficulty. In spite of all that has happened before, we need to remain faithful and trust that God is going to work it out as He so miraculously does in the life of this man. I
wonder if it is time, since we have heard much about things went sour with him, is that to consider the thought that doing that which is right is very costly in this world. Very costly. I have to make an assessment. Although it might cost me a lot here, and yet it's very rewarding in the coming world. You have to make decisions. All those that desire to live godly in this world shall suffer persecution. And it might not be the same in every case, but if you ask Joseph, he says, listen, if you want to do what's right, you're going to pay for it. But it is worth it. It is worth it. You know why? Because there's another world to come. And all what you do for the Lord Jesus and how you behave for the Lord in this scene will be displayed in the coming day. So we have heard if we suffer for wrong things, okay, other people suffer for wrong things, it's the same. But we are going to suffer for the right things. And yet this should not discourage us to do the wrong thing. You know, when we do wrong things, it's because we don't want to be persecuted. We don't want our friends to leave us. We don't want certain things to be taken away from us. We are exhorted to do that which is right. The other thing is, Matthew, I wondered in the past, how did a prison prosper? And I thought that in prisons, many times, there's chaos, not as far as the dirt and stuff like this, but men fighting against men, always. In any prison, there's always the tendency of fights to break in prisons. You know that in the presence of this man, because the Lord was with him, all these things were set aside completely. The prison was prosper where the guards, if I can put it this way, the guards of the prison were having a ball because they don't have to break fights anymore. It's the same principle. It goes back to the first session when we said, he have the same code whether he's in the house, whether he's in school, whether he's in prison, it is still the same person. And the exhortation for us is to be real in whatever circumstances we are placed in, because God loves reality and He hates hypocrisy.
No, John, excuse me. Would you mind to just explain a little how you connect this incident of Joseph in the prison in the life of Lord Jesus Christ?
Do you have any thoughts on
that?
Go ahead. Because I didn't have these thoughts. I didn't
no, I'm just
have
asking.
Them. Oh, you're asking. He's asking all.
Thank you.
I think of it in a matter of his wrong accusation and in his trial. When he stood before the high priest, when they came to take him, and how Peter tried to attack one of the servants of the high priest, and how the Lord Jesus there would put the ear back again. His character under those severe circumstances of unrighteous ruling and unrighteous judgment against them, he behaved there just like he would heal somebody when he was walking in Galilee with no attack or anything. He was the same. So I think that the life of the Lord Jesus reflected that when he was mistreated unrighteously by guards, been taken to prison there. I'm sure everybody was dragged into prison. It was cursing, swearing, saying everything bad. And here's an example of a prisoner that they dragged him, when they dragged Barabbas, for example, that year. I don't think they heard any kind of anything. I think he was cursing the governor and the high priest and everybody that dragged him. Not with him. I imagine when Joseph went to jail, the keeper of the tower of that dungeon all of a sudden sees a person. Maybe he said, please. Maybe he said, thank you. Maybe he went and opened the door to somebody. Maybe when he find two people talking with each other, he didn't just walk in and interrupt the conversation, but he was polite and said, excuse me. Maybe he said good morning in the morning to the prisoner. I mean, these are simple things that being polite, sometimes, like, it's not the character of the world today. You gotta be macho and you just don't, like, hey, yo, what's going on? No. Maybe he was having a certain behavior. Maybe he had showed some respect that the prisoner, the guard, said, there's something wrong with this man. What is this? What kind of prisoner is that? I mean, he was accused of one of that really bad things. I mean, he must be a really horrible person to be accused of that. And he brings in this, but not only that, the verse is very interesting about when they brought Joseph in jail. It said in verse 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph and all the prisoners. Now Joseph becomes the keeper of the prison. He's in charge of all these prisoners. But not only that they were all in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Whatsoever the prisoners have to do, Joseph was the doer of it. I really wonder if Joseph started showing the prisoners how to work, how to do things. He gains their confidence in such a way that when the two of them had a bad dream, and Joseph came to them in the morning and probably said, good morning, how are you today? Now, if the guard sees these guys grumbling around, you are probably with them today. Get to work. What are you sitting here morning to morning about? But Joseph said, what is the story? What's going on? He was willing to listen to them. I mean, these are all decent characteristics. Ought to characterize the Christians in the public way, in dealing with, we're talking here about unbelievers, in dealing with them. And there is no other way that for them to kind of find why is that man is different than to come to the conclusion that the Lord was with him. He was right there with the prisoner. He was doing the same work that we were doing. He was actually doing it for them. I wonder if one of the prisoners were just speaking so bad that he could not do his work, that Joseph would go out of his way to do the work for him. And the prison turned into an orderly house. The jailer didn't have to worry. He would go home now. Doesn't worry about it. I wonder if he stopped locking the doors. Because if you have Joseph with you, you don't want to go home. I don't want to go home to another master. I would stay in jail with Joseph is. Because they were so comfortable in the presence of Christ. And I think that's what Christ does when he comes to the life of man. He really brings blessing and order.
I think the real lesson here in the prison is that when we honor God, very often there will be suffering. And honoring God will really, you're not going to go forward in this world if you honor God. Sometimes the Lord will bless you and you'll have some success, but usually the rule is that when you honor God, you'll have suffering in this world. The Lord said that the world will hate you because it hated him. And so, and the was said that the disciple is not above his master and the servant is not above his lord. So, but we can also take solace in the fact that he makes all things beautiful in his time. And if it takes till the Lord comes again, or he will reward us for what we have done for him. He might reward us here in this world, maybe not. Maybe we'll suffer this our entire lives and never be blessed in this world with something physical. But the Lord is no man's debtor. He honored Joseph, and he will honor those who will suffer for his name's sake.
I want to make just one practical application for us. We've been talking about how difficult it must be to see yourself working hard and doing the right thing, and then you end up in a very bad situation. One of the things that may have kept Joseph going and not falling into despair is realizing that God is over it all. God is in charge. One of the major differences between a believer and an unbeliever is the unbeliever doesn't see that God is in everything. For us, if we are somewhere, it's because the Lord wants us there. If we go up, it's because the Lord wants us to go up. If we go down, it's because the Lord wants us to go down. If you ask somebody in the world, how do you define success? They'll give you an answer that has to do with getting more power, more wealth, more stuff, more respect, more responsibility, more money, whatever. Going up, getting more promotions, getting to the top of the corporate ladder. But for the Christian, success isn't those things. Success is to please our Lord. Because he bought us with his own blood. We belong to him. For us to succeed, it's to do the things that please him. I just wanted to share a verse in Philippians, written by the Apostle Paul as he was getting close to the end of his course. He says, Philippians 1, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but in all boldness, as always, now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live as Christ and to die gain. That was success for the Apostle Paul. Success was that Christ shall be magnified in my body. I don't care how that happens. If that means being a millionaire, a billionaire, if that means being a prisoner and getting executed, I don't care. Whatever it is, I want Christ to be magnified in my body. Because there was a time when I didn't belong to Christ, and I only did what I wanted to do, but now he met me on that road to Damascus, and he, after all the sin that I had committed, he forgave me all my sins, he bought me with his blood, I now belong to him. All I want is to please him, to magnify him. If I do that, then I'm successful. Then I have succeeded. For us, as we go through life, may the Lord help us to have the right perspective. Not to look at, did I go from a lower paying job to a higher paying job? Or did I go from being unemployed to getting a great job? Or whatever it is. But to just take everything as, assuming, of course, we're walking with the Lord, like as we've been saying, if you went from having a job to being unemployed because you did the wrong thing at your job, well, don't glory in that. But if you're pleasing the Lord, let's say, for example, at your job, and the economy goes downhill and you get laid off, you can moan and groan with the rest of your unbelieving coworkers that got laid off and say, oh, why did this happen to me? I was one of the best performers. I don't understand this. Why did I work so hard just to get laid off? Or you can say, I pleased the Lord when I was working. Now the Lord wants me to be unemployed. By his grace, I will please the Lord unemployed. To take it from his hands is to really have the right perspective. It's not to get stuff, to get out of jail. That's not the goal. It's to be faithful where the Lord has placed you. And for us as believers now, taking it into the New Testament, our goal is to magnify our Lord.
We will have a break for 15 minutes or go to now, and come back here at 3:30 for the last session of singing and reading as well.